This is FT Weekend. I'm Lila Raptopoulos. A few weeks ago, my colleague Anna Nicolau and I went to the Olivia Rodrigo concert at Madison Square Garden. Anna is the Financial Times' U.S. media correspondent, and she's really interested in Olivia Rodrigo right now as a pop star. Olivia is a superstar. She's 21 and the youngest artist to have three number one singles in history. But the music landscape is changing really quickly. And industry executives actually keep telling Anna that Olivia may be the last star who gets this famous. The thing is, the concert didn't feel like the end of something at all. It had real pop star energy. The fans were young, they were dressed like Olivia Rodrigo, they were scream singing all the words of her songs. Here's a clip. So I wanted to have Anna on to talk about what the music industry is worried about exactly, and if she thinks that things actually are changing. She's with me in the New York studio today. Hi, Anna. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Lila.
So nice to have you.
I'm so happy to be here, as ever.
You're wearing your Olivia Rodrigo shirt.
Yes. I'm getting in the vibe.
Okay, so why don't we start by telling listeners what it was like at this show, because you've been to a lot of pop shows, we've been to some together, and this one did really feel different in some ways.
I would say, you and I went to Harry Styles together.
Yes.
I've been to, I guess, several pop star shows in the past 3 or 4 years, and you never really know what to expect. I'd never seen Olivia Rodrigo before.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was so much better, one, than I had expected, and two, than her peers, if I'm being honest. Like, it felt, there was just something about both her and the crowd that was just such a good time.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to explain it. I felt happy for a full 24 hours after the show, which I think is as good as it gets.
Yeah. Okay, so we're watching this show. There's like moms and daughters hugging and dancing. There's girls crying. There's girls scream singing while recording every moment of the song.
Yeah, they were really good at that.
They were really good at that. Why is that unique? I mean, that's what a show is supposed to be. How does that compare to other pop stars who are doing these big shows, but the vibe isn't quite that?
Yeah, if I were to compare it directly to her peers that I've seen in the past couple of years, so Billie Eilish and Harry Styles. At those shows, I feel like people were sitting down a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't as though every person there was very excited to be there.
Right. Okay, so she has the superstar energy. It feels like she has the potential to maybe be as big as Taylor Swift or Beyonce one day. But can we give listeners some background on who this person is, if they don't know her, and how she got so big?
Yeah, so she's really young still, obviously. Was really young when she started putting out music.
Yeah.
She was on a Disney TV show, which is a weirdly common way that we get our pop stars in the U.S.
Still.
Yeah, I mean, there was Selena Gomez and the Jonas Brothers and Demi Lovato and Miley Cyrus and Britney Spears.
Yeah, Christina Aguilera.
So in a way, it was very traditional in that that at least gave her a little bit of, you know, industry connection, but obviously it's not going to give you a career. I had never heard of her before. And then she sort of blew up out of nowhere, it felt like, in 2021 when she released a song called Driver's License, and it went straight to number one on the Billboard chart, which is really unusual. And it felt like that song just kind of took over, like, the whole year. That was by far the most popular song. She quickly started writing and made more songs and released them very quickly, and they all became really popular.
Yeah, Driver's License, Deja Vu was another big song. It was a lot of songs about, like, being in love and being heartbroken and just being a teenager who can't get over it.
Yeah, and she was a literal teenager.
Right.
So in a way, it was, it was kind of the dream for the music industry, where someone kind of just comes out of nowhere and takes everyone by surprise.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so she comes out with this album, Sour. It does extremely well. A couple years later, she comes out with her next album, Guts. It does extremely well. The song Vampire, I think, is a perfect song.
I love that. Oh, my God. I was in London when it came out, and I remember so specifically walking around in Hackney and just listening to Vampire over and over and over.
Okay, so those things happen. And just so we know anything, is there anything else we need to know about, like, she signed on to Universal? Like, how was she found?
She was signed by Universal Music. Universal has a lot of different labels within the company. Interscope Records signed her. It was someone named John Janik, who has weirdly kind of become the guy who signs all the sad girl music people. Like, Interscope now has Boy Genius, Billie Eilish, Lana Del Rey.
All right, so you report on the business of media and entertainment. And on the train ride home, you said you were writing a column about this. And I said, what is it about? And you said, how she's the last pop star. And I said, ever?
Whenever I say that to people, they think I'm insane. Or just what I'm, it sounds like I'm one of those people that writes these like really provocative columns, right, which I really don't.
So what does it mean? Tell me what it means.
So basically it means that it was 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago now, when Olivia kind of broke out and became this massive star, seemingly overnight. And there has not really been anything like that since then. And so there's this agony in the music business about that.
Right.
Not even specifically about her, but about the fact that they can't seem to cultivate big stars, or they haven't. They've basically gone through this dry spell.
Right.
And obviously, when something like this happens, everyone starts kind of pointing fingers and trying to figure out why and declaring it's the end of the world.
Right.
So obviously, there's hyperbole to this. It's an exaggeration. I don't think that she's the last pop star that's ever going to exist.
Mm-hmm.
But there is definitely, there's a lot of interesting things happening in the industry that can explain why she was the last one to break out and why they're, even her, I mean, this is another part of it. There's a good chance she will never be as big as Taylor. And it's not necessarily because she's not as talented or hardworking.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because of this kind of secular trends of the media world now are different.
Yeah. So tell me about that. Like, what do you mean? What are the trends?
Yeah,
that are
different? I mean, some of it is stuff I'm sure people who are listening have heard about, like the decline of monoculture and how everything is super fragmented now. We have a million different things to spend our time looking at and doing. In the music industry specifically, TikTok has been easily the biggest change in recent years. And it's very unpredictable what will become popular, right? Like, they can't control it, and they're very uncomfortable with that.
Right.
And just streaming as a format, which is now how people, at least in the U.S., listen to music mostly.
Right.
It changes the relationship to artists, because you have every song you could ever want. You can play it whenever you want, right?
Right.
It's just very different. You don't have to go to a store and buy the CD in order to listen to something. And that changes, like, every kind of fabric of the way the industry works, because this is at least what people say, that it's much harder to kind of break through all of that noise and get people to kind of proactively seek you out and listen to you.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, a CDs that I bought said something about me, because I had to sort of commit to that type of music, or it defined who I was in some way. Now I don't have to commit to anything to listen. So even my own taste in music feels sort of haphazard.
Definitely. And it's really, really just changed the idea of even what is a star.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you can rack up 10 million listens on Spotify, but could you put on a concert and fill a room?
Right.
Like, that's a real question people are asking.
Right, right.
With the FT News Briefing, get caught up on what's important in the time it takes to drink your coffee or tea. Our 10-minute podcast runs down the biggest stories of the day, whether it's interest rates, AI, or private equity.
If you're one of those who was hoping for rate cuts, then this looks like bad news.
The idea that private equity is going to die is probably a little bit extreme.
Tune in every weekday to get a handle on the latest business news.
So, if over the past couple of years the industry has been trying but failing to create a star, what does that look like? Like, what are examples of stars that you think they've been trying to create but it hasn't really been sticking?
I mean, there I'm just not to say there aren't new artists that people care about.
Right.
It just hasn't been as ubiquitous or big. I mean, this business is, the whole thing is about making stars.
Right.
So there's thousands of people that work at these record labels. The major labels, Universal, Warner, Sony, spend billions of dollars a year on discovering and developing new artists.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the most important thing they do. The whole point is to create an artist that people really care about.
Right.
And for music companies, they're kind of in the business of just making bets. It's almost the same as like book publishers.
Right.
Like they make so many bets and they front all this money and the vast, vast, vast majority of the bets fail
mm-hmm.
and nothing ever comes of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll have that one that really, really works and that makes up financially for all the things that didn't work.
Right, right.
So for them, not having a new star is like a financial problem.
Right. Interesting. Okay. So if we think about the past, like, year or two, the past couple of years that the industry is kind of worried about. What are examples of some artists that have like almost made it, but not quite?
I would say, what's his name? Noah Kahan.
Yes, we don't even know how to pronounce it.
Noah
Kahan.
Yeah, he's pretty, like, they're definitely trying to make him a thing.
Right.
He's big. Renee Rapp is
That's true.
Rising, but nowhere near
mm-hmm.
the level of her predecessors. Ice Spice, I would say, is probably the most successful one they've had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of it is like maybe, I mean, I talk sometimes about like middle class pop stars like Charlie XCX. I
mm-hmm.
think there might be a lot more of that
mm-hmm.
where there's obviously a lot of people who really care about her,
mm-hmm.
but she's not huge and she probably never will be that massive.
Right.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing for us,
mm-hmm.
but for these companies, it can be.
Yeah. That was sort of my question is like, what do you imagine over the next, you know, 5, 10, 15 years will happen? Do you think it will be mostly Charlie XCX?
Yeah, I mean, I think there will be new stars. It would be insane for me to say that there won't be new stars. But I think you'll see more of these kind of medium-sized stars.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the biggest stars, it won't be as ubiquitous as we've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, from the 80s and 90s to 2010s, really, there were tons of these massive stars
mm-hmm.
that were kind of really, really well-known globally.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 2020s, it slowed down quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a coincidence.
Okay, so having talked about all that, I would love to go back to Olivia Rodrigo and just pinpoint what it is about her that seems to be working. Like, her fans clearly want to be her fans. I want to be her fan. I want to wear purple because she likes purple and I don't even like purple that much. She's clearly like scratching some itch for the culture. What do you think the itch is?
I think she's really good at writing things that can be quite sad and devastating, but also sort of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're both really heavy and really light at the same time,
yeah.
which is kind of hard to do. Like, there's a lot of things where she's sort of like, you can tell she's kind of like making fun of herself,
mm-hmm.
which I really like.
Right.
I think she's good at being vulnerable and making you feel like you know her,
mm-hmm.
which is often a big deal to kind of cultivate this kind of relationship where people really care about you.
Right.
I think she's good at doing it, all of it, these things. Like,
yeah.
she's good at being on social media, but not too much. She doesn't come across as, like, overly afraid to say anything
mm-hmm.
in the way that I actually think Taylor Swift is.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not too controversial either. Yeah, I think she just kind of checks a lot of boxes at the same time somehow.
Yeah, it's a funny thing when we talk about the music industry wanting something out of wanting to make a star, you kind of forget that we're talking about people. Like,
yeah.
you need a human who does this very specific thing.
Well, they're the product, right?
They're right. And she is kind of perfect for that. I think you're right. Like, even she sort of is going back to that pop punk Avril Lavigne thing, but she doesn't feel manufactured the way Avril Lavigne sort of felt, right? She feels
yeah.
like she can be kind of embarrassed and an awkward teen and hot and powerful and mad. And she can kind
yeah,
of
be
all those
things.
Yeah,
she can be like both messy and pretty,
mm-hmm,
which is
mm-hmm.
very important in this world, I feel like.
Yes. She also sounds sort of like, you know, her sound can, like, Good For You sounds a little like No Doubt or like Paramore.
Yeah.
And then she also sounds sort of like Lorde and sort of like Jenny Lewis. Like, she... there's something
She's firing
working.
On all cylinders.
She's really
I'll say
working.
It.
What I took away from this conversation with you is I think it reminds me the value of being a fan, like how fun it is to be a fan. And you can be a fan of a superstar or you can be a fan of like a middle level star. And that's really great because at either of those kinds of shows, the middle level ones will be a little cheaper and you'll probably still scream sing.
It is really fun. I mean, it's the same as sports in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
It's like you have someone you're rooting for and you care about.
It's true.
And you talk to other people who also care and you get upset if they do something that isn't that great.
Right.
And you get happy when they do something that is great. And
you buy
a
t-shirt that says perfect all-American bitch on it, which is one of her songs, which I did.
And you must have it at that moment.
Exactly.
No matter the $60 price.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it's like really fun being a fan of things.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been like a big pop star fan.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've known this for a while, but everyone else should find a pop star.
Olivia Rodrigo is on a world tour through the summer. So she's probably coming through your town and we recommend you go see her if she does.
She's headed to the UK.
She is.
Yeah.
Anna, this was such a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Lila.
That's the show. Thank you for listening to Life and Art from FT Weekend. Take a read through the show notes. We have linked to some related stories that Anna has written. Every link that goes to the FT gets you past the paywall. Also in the show notes are ways to stay in touch with me on email and on Instagram. And finally, a link and a discount code for the US FT Weekend Festival, which is happening in Washington, D.C. on Saturday, May 4th at The Reach at the Kennedy Center. I'm Lila Raptopoulos, and here is my brilliant team. Katya Kumkova is our senior producer. Lulu Smith is our producer. Our sound engineers are Breen Turner and Sam Javinko, with original music by Metaphor Music. Topher Forges is our executive producer, and our global head of audio is Cheryl Brumley. Have a lovely week, and we'll find each other again on Friday.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. From a local business to a global corporation.
Partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.